Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association, Carol Velardo. Plus on the Power Punnett panel today, Russell Rowe, Jane Ann Morrison, and Warren Hardy. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Is your garage a disaster area? California Closets can help. We can turn your messy garage into a model of organization. Zero down, 0% financing available. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
Attention, the diabetes drug Actos has been linked to bladder cancer.
If you've taken the diabetes drug Actos and now have bladder cancer, call the Goldwater Law Firm right now.
If you or a loved one took this drug and were injured, call us right now. You may be entitled to financial compensation.
If you or a loved one took Actos and were then diagnosed with bladder cancer,
call the Goldwater Law Firm at 800-351-7700. That's 800-351-7700.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
California Closets, the leader in home storage solutions, is serving the Reno-Tahoe area. Let our team of specialists help you reimagine new spaces in your home or office. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome to the program Carol Velardo. She's the president of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And I want to point out immediately that it is the 90th anniversary of the Taxpayers Association, right? Not your birthday. You are a considerably younger young lady. But the event was yesterday, and you had the four governors, four of the living governors of the state, obviously, on stage. Describe that event for us briefly, if you would.
To me, it was just impressive being in the audience and listening to some of the anecdotal stories that they were telling, personal items about being in the mansion, in addition to some of the policy issues that they dealt with. I think the funniest thing that happened, though, is we had a program after that, and panelists that came from California, Texas, and from D.C., they could not believe we actually had four governors on the stage at the same time, who spoke to one another, who weren't surrounded by a phalanx of security people, and said, my God, this is the most different. We could never do that. And I thought that was probably one of the most interesting comments on the program, is the fact that we are lucky enough to live in a state where the governors are our neighbors. You know, go grocery shopping, go down the street, and are just so accommodating, which they were to us yesterday.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because this was held at the Orleans, and I was walking around actually looking for you, and I saw that there was one security guard way at the back standing there looking at the crowd, and I thought, oh, how interesting. Why would there be a security guard here? Not thinking of the fact that we had four governors, the lieutenant governor, and half the legislature there. But anyway, it was a wonderful event, and congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Let's get to business here. It looks to me as though most of the indicators are showing positive for Nevada. Increasing sales tax, increasing gaming revenue. Do you think that we are on the right track now?
Well, I think the revenue is on the right track. I think there's always discussion about whether we're on the right track, about how we spend it. I do believe that we're going to see an upswing. And I always try to be positive, which I think you know. The thing that's concerning me right now, and even just driving down here to the studio, is the prices I'm seeing for gas. And for Southern Nevada in particular, that concerns me because of the amount of drive traffic we get from California that help generate the gaming revenues that we see. So, you know, with a little bit of trepidation, I hope that we have possibly come as close to the top as we might on fuel tax prices. That is the one potential cloud I see right now. Other than that, I think we are definitely revenue-wise moving in the right direction.
And the irony is, it is not the cost of oil that is the problem. It is the fact of the front page of the newspaper that talks about trouble in the Middle East and Iran, and that's just scaring up the bidding prices.
There's no question about that. You know, the purchase of precious commodities such as oil is a very complicated issue, particularly when you take a look at the amount that we have to import. And then the fear that kind of strikes those of us who aren't involved in those industries with reading, oh my God, you know, the Straits of Hormuz, and we may not be able to get oil, what do we do? And so it becomes this vicious cycle. The higher it goes, the less we drive. And so the law of supply and demand goes in there.
Well, one of the interesting things was the last time that we saw a huge spike in gas prices, the casino industry fought back by offering gas cards. If you would drive in and bring your gas receipts, you would get reimbursed.
Well, and I guess I'm old enough or have been around long enough to remember when we had 74 is the first I remember where the gas prices, you used to buy gas for 32 cents a gallon. All of a sudden, gas is up at 82 cents, and it's stretching up towards a dollar, and there was gas rationing. We took $10 million, the state did, out of the highway fund and put it into a separate fund, and the Las Vegas Chamber and Convention Authority down here, and I believe there was a comparable program up north, ran ads saying, if you come to Las Vegas, these ads were running in California, if you come to Las Vegas, we will make sure that you have enough gas to get back home. And the $10 million was actually put into the fund if it became necessary to buy gas on the spot market, which, you know, was amazing. We can be very creative with getting people here from California, but even at that, you know, there's still that little bit of a chilling effect in the hopes that things like that, those promotions will work.
All right, let's take a break. More with Carol Velardo when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Carol Velardo of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. You must be somewhat apoplectic about the number of initiative petitions that are out there, or at least circulating right now.
Between what's circulating and what potentially is still to be filed, that's an apt description.
What would you like to see personally?
If you're going to do an initiative petition, and the association has not opposed the process of initiative, what we would like to see is more of policy type questions. You want to raise taxes and you want to change the Constitution, you want the legislature to do something, then a policy statement that says, and the legislature shall within the next 2 years institute a business tax that is based on, and let the procedure and the mechanics be worked out within the legislative process and through the regulatory process. The problem that you have, and my big concern with the potential initiative we're looking at being filed by the unions, AFL-CIO and Danny Thompson, is that he's talking about it'll be patterned after the tax that was put through the introduced in the legislature last session for a Texas-style margins tax. That bill had so many problems. And trying to figure out, in some cases, how to solve some of those problems bogged everything down. If the initiative we're going to see, in fact, is similar to what was filed in the legislature, that will be a disaster. And it's easy because I've heard Danny say, yes, but it's statutory, it's not constitutional, so we'll be able to fix it right away. Not true. You cannot fix it for 3 years. So for 3 years, you're going to have these unintended consequences, and I can promise you, when it comes to tax initiatives, there will always be unintended consequences. That you can't do anything about. Lord, the legislature does a tax bill, and we have unintended consequences, and at least there, you have the opportunity to have a certain amount of vetting. You have no vetting with the initiative process.
Now, is this similar to a gross receipts tax, basically?
It would be a modified. It would be more of a net proceeds, mainly because of the deductions that you do wind up getting. It's not... While the basis is your income, you then have three potential deductions that you can take. So that makes it a modified gross.
All right. So, for example, the guy who owns the gas station, mm-hmm. and he's making, you know, 5 cents a gallon on gas, but he's not going to get taxed on that whole amount?
What happens is he's going to take a line one off of the IRS form, if this is the way it's worded, which is similar to the bill, or supposed to be. He'll take that line, and then we'll have the ability to deduct 30% arbitrarily as his expenses, or the cost of payroll, or the cost of goods sold. And that is what he would pay the tax on. Okay, and again, last session, there was a threshold amount of $1 million. The interesting thing about the bill from last session, and what I would assume has been fixed in the initiative whenever we do see it, is the fact that unlike Texas, this was not part of the Texas legislation, nonprofits that earned over $1 million were taxed. And I found that interesting because I can think of a number of profits that are reporting. Even though they don't pay tax to the federal government, they still have to report, are going to have that $1 million top line.
What do you think about the idea that even though people are proposing increasing gaming taxes, that one of the benefits to Nevada is because of the low taxing in this state, that it makes it more important for these gaming companies to bring their customers from other jurisdictions where they pay 40-50% in taxes to bring them here to the state where they pay way under 10% in taxes?
Look, if I have a location, irrespective of the taxes, because the one thing that happens is business doesn't pay taxes. You pay it, and I pay it in the cost of goods. It, for a hotel, it'll be the cost of rooms. It'll be what they charge for rent for the stores that provide the retail operations within their properties. It's going to be the price that we pay for the food we buy. The tax gets too high, and I'm not going to be able to absorb all of it. The prices go up. So what happens then is my prices go too high, and I'm non-competitive. I lose business.
Right, but
and potentially puts me out. So you can talk about having the casinos bring people here. Yes, they want to bring people here, but I don't think that's a valid argument.
So even though they would pay a much higher rate, say, for example, for somebody to lose $1 million in Macau, they don't make more money if they lose $1 million in Las Vegas?
They might. It depends on what the overall expenses are. But, Sam, I think what a lot of people don't realize is, and I can't speak to the European rates because I have not gone through what they're paying in Europe. And even in the comparisons, I asked somebody who was spouting off to me what some of these European rates are, and I said, okay, but can you tell me, did the amount you're giving me translate into U.S. dollars, or was it in the foreign currency, which may be way less than what U.S. dollars are? I don't know. But if you look at the taxation of gaming in the rest of the states, there's the trade-off on what is they're willing to pay in the other states that makes them go there is the fact that the number of operations you can have is restricted. It may be as Atlantic City, only to that area. It may be only two casinos on a riverfront. It may be a total of five casinos in the state. Well, I was in business, and if I could have restricted the number of women's dress shops, I would have happily paid more taxes.
But okay, a brief answer to this, though. But when you have, for example, Las Vegas, MGM and Caesars own half the marketplace. You know, is it as restricted as it might have been previously? Or unrestricted, I should say, not restricted.
No, it may not be from the point of ownership. And that being said, it doesn't mean that you can't restructure some of the gaming taxes. But I think some of the reasons that are used just because they're big, or because they're earning a lot of money right now, well, you apply that to every casino and look at the casinos that are in bankruptcy or have closed, and that particularly up in your neck of the woods, up in Reno.
And a lot of that, I must admit, is caused by lack of reinvestment in properties, not so much the Indian gaming.
And
but that's a story for another day.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Thank you so much for being here. And again, congratulations.
Thank you.
On the 90th anniversary of the Taxpayers Association. Wonderful, wonderful lunch. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
It smells amazing in here. Hey, that's your first dollar.
Yeah.
Speaking of dollars, I understand you had a fiscal epiphany recently.
Yes, we figured out a way to get really fast internet and phone for less than we were paying for slow DSL.
So where's your first dollar that you saved with Charter Business?
It's not framed. Sorry.
Well, I do accept apologies in muffin form.
Okay.
Look at your bill, then call Charter Business today to learn how you can save over $50 a month.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
They are courteous, fast, and responsive to all my needs, very competitive rates. They get the job done the first time, every time.
He did all my area rugs, they did my oriental rugs, and I'm satisfied with it.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel for you today. Warren Hardy is here, Jane Ann Morrison, the legend from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and Russell Rowe. Pleasure to have you all here. When last we spoke, you started to talk about Sheldon Adelson's donations to the Super PAC for Newt Gingrich. $11 million so far. There is rumors that he's going to either has or is going to place another $10 million into that campaign. You've watched politics for a long time. What are your thoughts on these Super PACs and the amount of money and power that these billionaires have on the American public?
Well, I think it's obscene, but the television stations love it. The newspapers don't get a lot of that money, but for TV, for radio, for political operations that do flyers, this is a gold mine, you know. And Stephen Colbert has done such a funny job with making fun of the super PACs. But you know, I go back to the day when they used to raise money by $5,000, $10,000, and that was considered a lot. Well, quite frankly, all they do is raise money. They spend all their time working the phones. It's sort of embarrassing, but money drives this, and money decides. I, as a longtime political reporter for about 13 years, we could write dozens of stories about someone. And I'll give an example, Anne O'Connell. We all got on TV and all wrote stories that she was not a tax and spend liberal. But nobody believed us. They believed the flyers. So, and that's the impact of money. If you have the money, you can say anything you want, and the public will believe it because they're not paying close attention.
Do you think it's getting worse and worse, Russell?
I think it is, particularly at the federal level. You know, the Supreme Court decision that blew this wide open.
Citizens United.
Right. It's, in my opinion, it ought to be readdressed. It obviously gets into First Amendment issues, but even First Amendment speech has limitations. And if everyone plays by the same rules and an equitable playing field, to have restraint and to give some balance within our political process, I think would be a good thing.
Isn't it so far out of whack that you can't pull it back?
No, I don't think it's so far out of whack. I mean, it got out of whack fast because of the Supreme Court ruling, and you can get it back into whack just as quickly, I think. But the thing that makes it so difficult is what Russell talked about, and that is there are First Amendment issues here, and you don't want to. I mean, from my perspective as a conservative, you kind of want to spring to the defense of that, but then at the same time, you also recognize the serious damage this does to the process for somebody to be able to make it such a one-sided process. But then you step back and say, well, they're successful in life, and that's how they choose to spend their money. I mean, you know, it's not an easy answer. It's not an easy answer. There's not an easy answer from a philosophical perspective, let alone a judicial perspective. But once I think everybody kind of agrees in terms of how we get it back, you know, into alignment, I don't think it'll be hard. I mean, to bring it back a little bit. There'll be continue to be attempts to do it. But I think people that do get money will be a little bit relieved in some respects. That okay, geez, you know, the pressure's off now. I don't have to give. It's not expected of me to give this much money, because Mr. Adelson is going to be surprised about how many people come knocking to his door going forward, looking for the similar kind of contributions.
And you know, and it's just interesting to see that these, you know, 5 or 6 billionaire either individuals or families are putting this kind of money in.
Well, it was interesting his comments too, because he said that, you know, it was done on the other side, and he doesn't really agree with it either, but as long as it's being done, he's in a position to do it, and he's going to take advantage of it.
Frank Fahrenkopf said on this program last week that money will flow to politics no matter what you do.
No matter what. And Frank is absolutely right.
All right. Bill Lerner, a very respected analyst with Union Gaming, talked about the proposed Nevada gaming tax, and his headline was "A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing." Do you agree? This is the Monty Miller tax.
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, the Indian gaming, I don't know if I agree or not, to be quite honest. I have to answer your question first. But the Indian gaming folks are doing quite well, and they are making money. It's interesting, today's RJ has a story about how California people are going down, but some of the smaller Indian gaming people are making more money. So obviously Indian gaming needs to be better regulated. I do think there are a lot of problems with that, particularly in New Mexico and places like that, where there doesn't seem to be a lot of regulation. But I'll have to say I don't know on your basic question.
Well, you know, Russ, one of the things that strikes me is that the benefit for Nevada with our lower gaming taxes is that, A, you can bring people from Macau and Singapore where the taxes are way higher, and the same for other jurisdictions around the country. It's much better for a whale to lose $1 million in Nevada for Nevada businesses than it is for them to lose in other jurisdictions.
There's no question about it. The proposal by Monty Miller is just a bad idea. You know, we can debate all day long whether gaming could or should pay more, but when you look at it just from the perspective of how do we fix Nevada's tax structure and reduce the volatility and the over-reliance on one industry, exacerbating that volatility is the absolute wrong thing to do. If we're going to do anything, we ought to do nothing, not exacerbate that volatility. And we talked earlier about the concern of some companies like Steve Wynn going over and chasing deals in Massachusetts. Well, yes, you're going to see that all the time when you essentially get a monopoly for a jurisdiction, and you'll pay a much higher rate when you have complete open competition here. All you need to do is get the land and get your zoning and get your entitlements. You're done. You can open your casino. You've got to have a lower rate. Raise that rate 33% and make it more likely for our gaming companies here to chase other opportunities around the country and around the world. That's really not a good idea, nor is it going to help us maintain our leadership in gaming as we grow into the internet age and digital age with respect to gaming.
Quick answer on this, but basically when you have Caesars and MGM being half the market in Las Vegas, is it really that diversified?
You know, Russ's analysis was spot on, in my opinion. The problem with this, too, is this is not really him pushing a gaming necessarily because he thinks it's a good idea. It's politics. You know, he wants
politics.
Are you kidding? You can't. I tell my kids, you can't take politics out of politics. It just doesn't work. But he wants everybody else to back off the grocery receipts taxes and the other, you know, business labor's talking about bringing a massive business tax forward. I think this is all a chess game. So my first reaction is, here we go again. We're not really talking about the things Russ is talking about, and that's how we diversify our tax base to be able to compete. We're not talking about that at all. We're playing politics again, and that's what's happening here.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
What? I'm going to be late. I can't be late.
Grandma, you got to help me out. My window's broken.
I'll be right there. No one's faster than us. We're all set. Done in no time at all.
Wow, you guys are good.
We guarantee the lowest prices in town, only at Glassboro.
Is chronic back pain inhibiting your lifestyle and your quality of life? I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. At ProSpinal, we specialize in a revolutionary, highly successful treatment known as non-surgical spinal decompression.
I couldn't walk in the morning until I met Brian. He straightened me out.
I found this technique works especially well for disc herniation, disc bulge, sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease.
What a result. My before and after MRIs are absolutely incredible. Now I can go out, play golf without taking any medication at all.
My primary goal is to get you or a loved one back to a pain-free and very active lifestyle. In just 3 days, most of our patients experience that relief. But if that's not the case, those 3 days are complimentary.
Obviously, there are going to be doubts, but this procedure really works.
Our consultations are always free, and we offer a 3-day no-risk trial to all qualified candidates. Give ProSpinal a call today at 336-3472 or visit us online at prospinalinc.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada Mining, because mining contributes to products that touch our lives every day. Sensors and airbags and smoke detectors. Lime, gypsum, and copper for construction. Lithium for our smartphones and hybrid car batteries. Gold for life-saving medical equipment. And computers wouldn't work without products from mining. Products used all over the world come from right here in Nevada. Mining supports Nevada's families and their dreams. Visit our website and learn more.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, the editorial writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Glenn Cook, will be here. We'll see you then.